Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look up here, you see we've talked in recent weeks about the when and where of Jesus' activities in the gospel lessons. We've seen him on the mountains, like the surprise of Lake Tahoe, Jesus' surprise on the Mount of Transfiguration. We saw Jesus in the dark with Nicodemus and discovered darkness is daylight when Jesus is there. Then last week, we saw him in the bright light of midday with the woman at the well in Samaria, where we heard about the living water of life that Jesus longs to give us all. And today, we are again in the light, but now we are in a new location. It seems we're back in Jerusalem, somewhere near the temple, and it's a Sabbath day. So, okay, what was so wrong about the Pharisees scolding Jesus to the man who was healed for healing on the Sabbath? Anybody here know what blue laws are? I see some nodding of the heads. Blue laws, you know what blue? What are blue laws? Can't sell on Sundays. There are things you can't do on Sundays. There are things you can't do on what we call our Sabbath that we don't do. So why isn't Jesus towing the line on this? He's acting outside the custom of his society, isn't he? And also, look at where he did this. If you look at the previous verses in chapter 8, it says that he's leaving the temple when he encounters this man born blind. It's interesting that a blind man is near the temple, near the leaders that we learn later in this lesson have decided already that anyone who says that they follow Jesus will be put out of the fellowship, out of the temple, right near where this man now sits. This man's state of darkness not only points out the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees, but it also reminds us of the state of darkness of one particular Pharisee, and that's Nicodemus. His darkness that we talked about a few weeks ago was something that he chose coming at night as he did. But for the man born blind in today's gospel lesson, his state of darkness is absolute and was not of his doing or choice. He has never seen daylight, sunshine, or a blue sky. Can you imagine that? Close your eyes for just a moment. Imagine no light at all, anywhere, from any source. The total absence of shadow even. Nothing. Even the blackness has no color. Okay, now before you go to sleep, open your eyes. As far as the Pharisees and Jesus' own disciples were concerned, this man's blindness was punishment for some sin that someone did. But Jesus said no. The reason for this man's blindness, according to Jesus, was simply so that on this day, this Sabbath day, the glory of God in the person of Jesus would be revealed. Is there a better day than the Sabbath to reveal God's glory? Jesus didn't think so. The Sabbath is not about the laws of man, but about the grace of God. It has always been so, even through the distortions heaped on it by the religious leaders. And this man's blindness, like any other congenital or other birth defect, is not a punishment for a specific sin. If it were, there would be no reason for the cross. We wouldn't need the cross of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't need the cross because all we would have to do, of course, would just simply be to avoid sin. which we can't do. Rather, this man's blindness was to give that man, his family, the disciples, the Pharisees, and you and I a greater understanding of God's compassion for his entire creation. This Sabbath day was unlike any other Sabbath day. Jesus changed the meaning of that Sabbath day for that man and his family, for Jesus' own disciples, and for the Pharisees as well. Part of the season of Lent that we're in is to remind us that we are like this man. We too need healing from the condition of sin, from the blindness of sin, that we are all born with. We talked of that a week or so back in our look at Jesus saying, "Ego eimi, I am the light of the world." For us, we are in darkness apart from Him. That is simply the state that we are in. Now, another thing about this man is that he did nothing. He didn't even ask to be healed. Jesus did it purely on his own initiative. The same thing is true also with our salvation, with our healing from the blindness of sin. Jesus came of his own love to lead us who are blind along unfamiliar paths we're talked about in the Old Testament lesson today. These are the paths of righteousness. That's what's unfamiliar to us. The righteousness of Jesus given to us freely by his compassion alone. That is what he chose to give us on his own. And it is his compassion that heals us. And notice what Jesus used to heal this man. Clay, soil, dirt. This was the stuff that Jesus used to create man in the first place. And it's what he used now to heal this man. It was also what Jesus used to heal us of our sin. Think about it. It was flesh and blood and bone that Jesus took on himself as an infant. It was clay, dirt, and soil that he put on in coming to earth to work out salvation for us. Jesus came in the flesh, the clay, the dirt, and soil to redeem those whom he had created in flesh from the dust of the earth. We've been talking about that in Sunday school. And only the great physician, Jesus, can heal like that. And yet people remain blind to what he offers, blind to the riches that he longs for us to have in the healing light that he's revealed to this world through his word. Some of you remember the man in the lower right-hand corner there. That's Kenneth Klaus. For many years, the speaker of the Lutheran Hour of Ministries. And he's told the story of Rose Crawford, who also had been blind since birth. The story, according to him, is that at the age of 30, she discovered that there was a type of delicate eye surgery that could help her to see. When the bandages were removed, Rose wept at the beautiful colors that greeted her. What's unusual about Rose's story is that 20 years of blindness were unnecessary. She was simply unaware. She was unknowing of the advancements of medical science that had taken place when she was a small girl and just figured that there was nothing that could be done. How many of our friends and family are spiritually blind because they are simply not aware of the great physician who can remove the darkness and bring the marvelous light of salvation. After being healed and given his sight for the first time, the man in the gospel lesson then lived with the consequences of what Jesus had done for him. and for simply being healed. For simply being healed by Jesus of his blindness, he was persecuted. He was attacked. His family was questioned and he was hounded. All because he simply told, spoke of, witnessed to the truth of the man Jesus who had healed him. He lived the rest of his life as that man, you know, the one born blind whom Jesus healed. I'm sure that became his reputation. He was a child of God, healed by the Son of God on the day set aside to worship God. And from then on, he testified just by living his life about who Jesus was and what he had done for him. In my own mind, in my own imagination, I like to think that this guy maybe became a painter or an artist of some sort. I don't know. But however he lived, he now lived by the light of the Lord. Jesus revealed himself as the Lord of life to this man when he spoke with Jesus after being thrown out of the temple by the Jews. Now, we sang in the hymn a few moments ago, while lightened eyes could see and know the healing Christ of long ago. Jesus restored to this man more than physical wholeness and healing of sight. He opened this man's eyes and soul to the truth of who Jesus is, the Messiah, the Christ, the chosen one. Again, Jesus says, Yahweh, I am the light of the world. And this is echoed in the Old Testament lesson today in verse 16, where it says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, those ways of righteousness. I will turn the darkness into light before them. These are the things I will do. And that is exactly what Jesus has done. Taken away the darkness and granted the light of life. Now, you know, what's that you're looking at there? Yeah, but what's under the wing? Yeah, the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon. No, that's the Grand Canyon, folks. Flown over it many times. And, you know, if you fly over northern Arizona at night, the darkness hides from us the massive beauty of that Grand Canyon. Similarly, the darkness of sin blinds us to God's unfathomable love and compassion for all of his people. It is sin's darkness that separates us from God. But the light of Christ from the cross and the empty tomb grants us sight to see the vast beauty of the love of God. In Ephesians today, we're told, for you were once darkness. You were once darkness itself. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We're now light in the Lord. The light of Christ from the cross is the renewed condition we now live in, like this man who was born blind. We are no longer blind. The great physician, the Creator Jesus, grants us Sabbath healing every Sunday for our blindness by the proclamation of his cross, death, and resurrection. And he gives us a new eye condition. We now go through our life cross-eyed. By now seeing things through the cross, our cross-eyed condition opens our eyes to see all things in the light of Jesus. The light of the cross points out not only what Christ has done for us by his own action and grace and mercy, but we now have a new vision. We now have a real hope for the future. This man, Philip Yancey, I met him many years ago. He's an author. And this book that he wrote, one of the books that he wrote, is called The Jesus I Never Knew. And in it, he has this quote up there. He says, "The miracles Jesus performed, breaking as they did the chains of sickness and death, give me a glimpse of what the world was meant to be and instill hope that one day God will right its wrongs. To put it mildly, God is no more satisfied with this world than we are." And he goes on to say, "Jesus' miracles offer a hint of what God intends to do about it." I like those words of Philip's. And in the miracle of giving sight to this man born blind, we are given a real-world demonstration of the real world in Christ that is to come. A world where there will be no more tears or sorrow. There will be no more darkness or loneliness or night. In Jesus Christ, we are now, we are given a Sabbath healing of all our sin, both now and for all time and eternity. In being given our sight, in being given our salvation, we've been given the riches of the certain hope of heaven. That Jesus healed on the Sabbath is also a reminder of why we come to church on our Sabbath, on our Sunday of rest. When we come here, we too are healed by light from the gospel and the sacraments. Like the man whom Jesus healed, we too now live with the consequences of his work in our redemption. And like that blind man, we have the good news of Jesus to share and testify of to others. After all, our mission here is what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, we have been given sight and light to work in while we wait for the sure promise of his return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.